Welcome to the June 21st service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, assisted by worship associate Ellen Plummer. The title of Rev. Pam's homily is Compassionate Community. For more reading and viewing on the topic, go to charterforcompassion.org.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ellen Plummer, our worship associate today. It is always my delight to support Rev. Pam in delivering and serving up worship for us all. I greet you this morning from a small piece of heaven on the Rappahannock River, which is in Urbana, Virginia. I came here to detox, as it were. So I'm delighted to be with you this morning. While physical distancing has required that we not meet in person, our community is still meeting regularly via Zoom and other virtual options. Look to our announcements email for more information. If you're with us for the first time, we're really glad that you have found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat. Fill it out, please, if you'd like to keep in touch with us and for us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat to fill that out as well. I'd like to lift up a few announcements this morning. Several people have asked to be notified when there are public witness activities like marches or vigils. If you would like to be added to that list, please contact our administrator, Lisa Evangelo. And we are starting up a new auction site. This is very exciting. Please take a look to see what you might want to offer or purchase. You'll find a link in the announcement that is set out this afternoon. Pam has a little bit more to say about that this morning.
That's right. And I think Jamie is going to put a link in the chat also. Our amazing auction committee has started us off early, since we probably won't be able to do the kinds of auctions that we're used to. And they wanted you all to know that there is a special offering that's already up. And that is this beautiful quilt made by our peacemakers, our quilter extraordinaire. And the tickets for this quilt are $20. And they're only selling 50 tickets. So you have a 1 in 50 chance, which I figured out was 2% chance of winning this beautiful quilt. I think they've already sold 8 tickets so far. I also want to let you know that when you go to the website for the auction, you'll find that you can register. And once you register, you can go ahead and purchase some of the things that are already offered. There are some items for sale, but there are also some yummy looking desserts. So I encourage you to register for the auction site and go to it frequently, both to add your own offerings, but also to buy some of the things that your fellow UUC members and friends are offering to us.
Thanks, Pam. Any interesting screechy noises you might hear behind me are the amazing blue heron who are winging back and forth behind me on the creek. They're rather dramatic, as it were, but they're very busy. This morning, I invite you to light a candle or chalice at home as I read these words. This morning, we light our chalice in gratitude for fathers and for all persons present and absent, with whom we have shared a father-like bond. May the light of our chalice express the warmth of our thanks, the light of grace, and the fire of our beloved community's commitment to supporting fathers in all their expressions and roles. We're going to lift up our congregational covenant. It's one of our many ways of expressing our compassionate community. Please join me in reading the words on the screen. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire spiritual and ethical growth, create compassionate community, and transform our community and the world through courageous love, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Giving is a reminder of our interconnected web of life, a call to make the world a little closer to heaven on earth, just like here on the Rappahannock, and a symbol of our commitment to compassion and courageous love. Each week, our congregation donates half of the offering to a local charity or Unitarian Universalist affiliated organization. This week, we invite all of us who are able to donate to Living Room Conversations, a program that provides a guided method for diverse members of a community to engage in intentional conversation about specific and impactful issues. Please give online at uucnrv.org, support give, or on your smartphone by using our Give Plus app, or by texting FUND to 844-909-2617. If you have never used these, look at your order of service and look at the announcements for more guidance and information. You will be able to give after the service as well.
Now I invite you into a mood of meditation and prayer, to take a deep breath, to ground yourself in whatever way feels right, to soften your shoulders, and if you'd like to close your eyes. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, we gather today as people striving to be compassionate. This morning, our hearts are full of joy at the signs of more justice and more equity in our world. At long last, the Supreme Court has acknowledged and affirmed that no one should be fired simply for being who they are, giving LGBTQ plus folks protection against unlawful discrimination. Hallelujah. May this sign of hope encourage us to continue to work towards a world free of discrimination on the basis of who we are and whom we love. And we rejoice for the dreamers, those young people who have been in limbo since the capricious and arbitrary ending of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. May this sign of hope encourage our legislators to enact laws giving true security to these young Americans. We are grateful for the work of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, and those thousands and thousands of people who attended their virtual rally yesterday. In their words, somebody's hurting our people. It's gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. May this sign of hope encourage us to listen to the voices of those most marginalized in our country and to work to ease their suffering. We are heartened by the widespread response to systemic racism, the peaceful protest against police violence, and the movement to remove monuments to white supremacy. May this sign of hope encourage us to continue to work for racial justice. our hearts are full at the signs of hope for more justice and more equity in the world. But we are mindful that suffering continues. We pray for those who are suffering from injustice and inequity, those who fear for their own and their children's lives, those who mourn the deaths of their loved ones at the hands of the police. We pray for those who are suffering from the effects of the coronavirus, those who are struggling financially, those who are sick, those who are mourning the deaths of their loved ones. And while we are mindful of all the suffering in the world, let us hold even more closely those who suffer near. We pray for those who experience isolation and loneliness, anxiety and fear. As we aspire to be people of compassion, may we hold them not only in our hearts, but may we reach out to those who suffer with our care. And may we have the strength and courage to create a truly compassionate community and to transform not only our community, but the world through courageous love. Amen, and blessed be.
It's my pleasure this morning to introduce us to another video. And I need to share, I feel moved to share with you this morning that I received the blessing of an email earlier this week from a fellow congregant who I deeply appreciate and is a fellow journey person on this path. And Stephen's email really inspired me to do a lot of thinking and contemplating this crazy time, complicated time, on our theme for compassion. So Stephen, thank you for the inspiration you provided me for our reading this morning. Karen Armstrong is a religious scholar and an author of many books. In 2008, she received the TED Prize. And the TED Prize is, at its core, is about wishing and dreaming for a better world. And the TED Prize includes funds and organizational support for the recipient's one wish to change the world. One wish to change the world. Armstrong declared in her acceptance speech that her one wish to change the world is an urgent global imperative for universal justice and respect. The International Charter for Compassion was created online by the general public and crafted by thinkers in Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucian, by folks who follow Confucius. When I listen to the words of the charter, which we will do in a moment, read by folks from all over the world, I am moved to consider the simplicity of the golden rule and the invitation to believe that I am capable and must decenter myself, and that by doing so, I might be creating capacity for others. The Charter for Compassion offers a path for contemplation and for action in ways that challenge my white, educated, Unitarian Universalist, resource-rich, overly intellectual, theological, political, psychological, physical, sociological, and economic supremacist tendencies. As you listen to the words of this amazing charter, I invite you to think about the ways in which you might create capacity to decenter yourself and fully hear the realities and experiences of others from around the world.
The principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions,
calling us always to treat all others as we wish to be treated ourselves.
Compassion impels us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures.
To dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put another there.
To honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being.
Treating everybody without exception.
With absolute justice, equity, and respect.
It is also necessary in both public and private life
to refrain consistently and empathically from inflicting pain.
To act or speak violently out of spite, chauvinism, or self-interest.
To impoverish, exploit, or deny basic rights to anybody.
And to incite hatred by denigrating others, even our enemies.
Is a denial of our common humanity.
We acknowledge that we have failed to live compassionately.
And that some have even increased the sum of human misery in the name of religion.
We therefore call upon all men and women
to restore compassion
to the center of morality and religion.
To return to the ancient principle
that any interpretation of scripture
that breeds violence,
hatred,
or disdain
is illegitimate.
To ensure that youth are given accurate and respectful information
about other traditions, religions, and cultures.
To encourage a positive appreciation
of cultural and religious diversity.
To cultivate
an informed empathy
with the suffering of all human beings,
even those
regarded as enemies.
We urgently need to make compassion a clear, luminous, and dynamic force in our polarized world,
rooted in a principled determination to transcend selfishness.
Compassion can break down political, dogmatic, ideological, and religious boundaries.
Born of our deep interdependence, compassion is essential for human relationships and to a fulfilled humanity.
It is the path to enlightenment and indispensable in the creation of a just economy and a peaceful global community.
We urgently need to make compassion a clear, luminous, and dynamic force in our polarized world. Rooted in a principled determination to transcend selfishness, compassion can break down political, dogmatic, ideological, and religious boundaries. It's a powerful statement. And it came out of a powerful process. As Ellen explained, this comes out of the wish of Karen Armstrong. And since the charter was created, 440 compassionate cities in 54 countries have committed to working to take compassionate action to address local challenges like racial, ethnic, or religious tensions, homelessness, poverty, and inequality of opportunity. Can you imagine making a wish and then seeing it come true? Now, despite the pitch at the end of the video we used for our opening words, I'm not necessarily suggesting that we, as a congregation, sign on to the charter, though several UU congregations have. But because part of our mission statement is that UUC will create compassionate community, we thought it might be a good idea to take a look at the Charter for Compassion and its network of compassionate communities. What could we learn from them? Now, their website acknowledges that each community and organization needs to determine the process that works best for them, but they suggest four steps: discover and assess, focus and commit, build and launch, and evaluate and sustain. Now, you all did the work of crafting your mission and vision statement before I arrived. This community has gone through something analogous to the first two, if not three, steps of the process recommended. You discovered what you wanted to do and be as a religious community through reflection and conversations. You had a group of folks who took all the information and created a mission and vision statement. I know it was a lot of work. I've done this myself in my home congregation, but I don't think you had quite as many pieces of information as those who created the Charter for Compassion. And we've been working to live into the mission and vision in the nearly 3 years since I arrived here. Along the way, we've tried to keep the mission in mind. We've had several worship services devoted to reminding ourselves of the mission and reflecting on how we're doing. And as the committees made their budget requests and wrote their annual reports, they considered how their work supports the mission of UUC. And this winter, the board formed a strategic planning committee to more formally assess how we are doing. How well are we living into our mission? What more might we do? And then 2020 happened. I went back to the newsletter article our president, Steve Caton, wrote in January, introducing the members of the committee: Polly Stimson, Frank Napolitano, Amy Pruden-Bakshi, Stephen Henninger, Jim Kern, and Kim Feit. He said, and their work so far this spring affirms, that this is a group of committed, insightful, and wonderful people who work really well together. But one part of his article turned out to be not quite so accurate. The second paragraph reads, "No, I'm not anticipating that our upcoming 2020 UUC year will necessarily present any huge challenges for us." Steve is a meteorologist, but not even he could forecast a pandemic. It turns out 2020 has presented quite a few challenges that none of us could have predicted. And we've all been taken out of our comfort zones. It's been difficult to do all that we might have done if this had been a normal year. But I have been amazed at how well we have met the challenges, from RE at home packets to virtual bridging and flower communion services, not to mention the many committee meetings, discussion groups, and social gatherings on Zoom. We've certainly learned how to be a flexible community. And in the year ahead, we'll build on all we've learned so far and figure out still more ways to inspire, create, and transform. And it is with an eye toward the future that the Strategic Planning Committee has created a survey that will help us more formally evaluate how we're doing and discern how we might more fully live into our mission and vision. The survey will be launched on July 1st, and we hope that everyone will take time to reflect and complete it. Now, we expect that everyone will want to take the survey because they are invested in this community and want to see it thrive, to be all that we can be. But we also recognize that it helps to have other incentives. So there will be some modest prizes that will support local merchants and restaurants. Everyone who completes the survey will be eligible to win. And the sooner you complete the survey, the more prizes you're eligible to win. The survey will help us refine our thinking on how we want to create compassionate community as part of our mission. But it's important to consider why our whole mission is important. to do that, let's look back at part of the Charter for Compassion that seems especially relevant in the world we are living in today, even more relevant than when it was crafted over 10 years ago. Compassion impels us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures, to dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put another there, and to honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being, treating everybody without exception with absolute justice, equity, and respect. The challenges we've faced these past few months and weeks have brought into sharp relief the need for us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures, the need for us to dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put another there. While we have all been forced out of our comfort zones these past months, we've also been reminded of the injustice and inequities in our world. Inequities that result in a disproportionately higher rate of COVID-19 infection and death among African Americans and Latinx, among the working poor. Injustice that results in the death of unarmed Black men and women at the hands of the police. The widespread protests across the country and the response of cities and corporations taking down Confederate statues and removing Aunt Jemima from grocery shelves, they make me hopeful that compassion is indeed impelling more Americans to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering and to honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being. So too do all those people attending the digital justice gathering for the Mass, Poor People's Assembly, and Moral March on Washington. It's a mouthful. If you didn't attend yesterday morning or evening, you have a chance tonight at 6 o'clock. It is an opportunity to hear the stories of those most affected and understand the demands in the areas of systemic racism, poverty and inequality, ecological devastation, war economy and militarism, and national morality. Hearing from those most affected by injustice and inequity is a very good way to dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put another there. I'll ask Jamie to put the link to the web in the chat. It's www.june2020.org. I believe it's about 2.5 hours long, but you'll hear some powerful voices and a compelling case for compassion. Those of you who have heard the Reverend William Barber speak know that he is a powerful preacher. I encourage you to attend this virtual rally. I'm also mindful that today is the last time I'll be preaching from this pulpit for some time. I'll be taking vacation during the month of July, and the worship team has some wonderful services planned. I might sneak in and worship with you. Next week, and in fact, the whole next week, I'll be attending ministry days and general assembly with some of you. But next Sunday, we'll all gather in this space together to attend the UUA General Assembly Sunday worship service with Unitarian Universalists from all across the country. I'll share the screen and we'll participate in a service called Beyond the Water's Edge. It acknowledges that this is the description from the order of service. These are uncertain and volatile times. These are times that call on us to work towards our collective liberation while also tending to our spiritual needs and caring for others. How do we ready ourselves for what is being asked of us? How do we keep moving even when we don't feel ready? That sounds like a sermon I need to hear. What about you? The service will be led by the Reverend Joan Javier Duval from Vermont and Reverend Michael Slack from North Carolina. Those of you who participated in the Transgender Inclusion in Congregation workshops will remember Reverend Michael. It will be so wonderful to see him leading worship. We'll also get to listen to and sing along with some of my favorite music. From Issei Barnwell, the hymn We Are. We've sung it before, but we'll get to hear her sing it. And also Emma's Revolution, along with the GA Virtual Choir. I'm so excited to be able to share this experience with all of you, especially those of you who have never been to a national gathering. The Charter for Compassion, the Poor People's Campaign, and the UUA General Assembly all remind us that we are not alone in wanting and needing to create compassionate community, beloved community. We are not alone in wanting to transform our community and the world through courageous love. As the Charter for Compassion says, born of our deep interdependence, compassion is essential to human relationships and to a fulfilled humanity. Let us be led by that interdependence, by compassion, by love, to create a world that honors the inviolable sanctity of every single human being, a world in which everybody, without exception, is treated with absolute justice, equity, and respect. Let us be led by our love for this world to make it so. As we extinguish our chalice, I'll share these words from the Reverend Wayne Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. We extinguish the light, but not the warmth of community. Let us take that with us in our hearts until we are together again.